we spent a lot of time in Nehemiah, and we talked about, is it worth the fight? And we pulled some lessons from Nehemiah. Then last week, I started down that road again just to kind of finish that all up. And I felt like the Lord just kind of, he was like, no, you need to go over here. And I couldn't get away from it. So we went into 1 Samuel chapter 17. And so we talked about the fight of faith. So I'm going to pick up there and talk a little bit more about some keys that we learned from David and Goliath. And one of the things that we said last week was that don't run at your giant with your mouth closed. There is something about this idea that somehow being spiritual is being quiet. Heaven's going to be a very noisy place.
Yeah.
If you don't think so, just read the book of Revelation. Thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s. And what are we going to be doing? Worshiping the Lamb. Because it's going to be about Him. So we might as well start making it all about Him while we're here on planet Earth. Amen. Right? That we make everything about Jesus. That God is just really, instilling in me, kind of making me go back to some basics. Basics of when I first came to Christ. When I first came to Christ and learning that basics of humility and being a servant, these days words like servant and, people don't like that because it has really negative human connotations to it. And so people are a little sensitive to that. But I can remember being in meetings back in the early 80s and they would sing songs like, "Let me be your servant. Make me a servant like you." And I was in my first Easter play that I was ever in was at a church called Maranatha Church. Now, that's a mouthful. Maranatha is a Greek word, which actually means our Lord comes. And that was the name of the church. It's called Maranatha Temple. Everybody thought we were a synagogue. And so we would constantly have to correct that. So eventually they changed the name to Maranatha Church. That was where I got my first start in ministry. That's where I first learned some of the ways of God and learned about being full of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, listening to the voice of God. And it was just a real special time. But I can remember that humility that would happen in some of our settings. With the adults, I was a senior in high school, so I was, Violi and Meadle, I was Mark's age. I was just coming into some of this. I grew up in church, but I had just gotten on fire for God, and I remember going into meetings and that spirit of humility. I remember going into a foot washing service. How many in here have ever been to a foot washing service? It might sound gross to you if you've never been to one. But if you want to, in dealing and talking about that spirit of humility, there is nothing like that. It puts us all down at that level that says, you're the king. And when you realize that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, I remember we used to sing a song, "Make Me Like You." Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one too. Our world needs the power of humility. Coupled with what we know about faith, it is an unstoppable force. When we look at what's happening with these college campuses and we see that spirit of humility where it's not a big show. I referenced this last week. It's not just in America, folks. It's happening all over. It's happening all over. We'll hear a little bit more about it next week because I'm going to ask Marcia to share some things next week. But there are Muslim clerics that are having visions of Jesus.
Amen.
Folks, we're getting close. And I believe James tells us that the husbandman waiteth, in the King James language, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting because he wishes all men to come to know the knowledge of the truth. Whew. We are in an amazing time. So when you wake up in the morning and you see the headlines of the news and it gets you discouraged, I want you just to look up. And I want you to say, I get to do this today. I don't know what adventure you're going to bring me today, Lord, but I get to do this. Because we are living in an amazing time. Technology and computers that could have sent people to the moon 50 years ago is in our hand. We have the ability, if we will use it. We have knowledge like we've never had before. I mean, I have every Bible translation in the English language in my palm. I have Bible libraries in my palm that used to fill rooms. I want to tell you, we live in an amazing time. An amazing time where we've seen and we've learned from the generations past of what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. And this is an amazing time. Look up and just smile and say, could this be the day, Lord? Could this be the day that you go over and you tap your son on the shoulder and say, go get my church? Could this be? It could be that day. So let's make the most of it. All right, so the fight of faith. Humility is a big deal in the fight of faith. We learned last week, don't run at your giant with your mouth shut. What did David do? He called out the giant. Sometimes you need to call out the giants in your life and say, I'm taking you down. If it's an addiction, in the privacy of your own home talking to God, you might need to tell. And I don't know who might be watching or who watches this later on. If you have an addictive situation going on, you might just need to speak out loud and say, addiction, you're coming down. And you're coming underneath the feet of Jesus. Because you're a defeated foe. And I defy you in the name of Jesus Christ. When you start taking your authority as a believer, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. Now you go. And what was that? That was a commissioning. Now you have the authority. I've got the authority. Oh, yeah. How come it doesn't work, Pastor? Because sometimes we haven't done what I just read at the end of worship in James chapter 4, where it says, humble yourself before God. And resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The reason why sometimes it's not worked is because we haven't humbled ourselves. We haven't drawn near to God. It's a relationship. The reason why sometimes our faith doesn't seem to be working the way we thought it should work is because we haven't humbled ourselves. We haven't said, Lord, make me like you. It's all about you, Jesus. We haven't done that. And so therefore, when we step out and start just flippantly calling out the name of Jesus, and you're like, how come the devil didn't leave? Because you haven't humbled yourself. Because it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about him. And so some of the other things that we learned last week is that David was responsible in the little things. Now, this was out of 1 Samuel chapter 17, the entire story I read of David and Goliath. And I said this, at least I made reference to this, that true God confidence is not pride. Remember, and I mentioned this last week, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, the people who know their God do mighty exploits. The people who know their God. When they know their God. Oh, what is that? That's humility. That realizes that it's not my religious gymnastics that get me to know God. It is that he drew near to me. You know, when I was a kid, they had this bumper sticker thing. It said, I found it. talking about you found Jesus. Truth of the matter, it should be he found me. He found me. And see, when he found me, I was a teenager going nowhere. When he found me, and then he still finds me. He finds me in my discouragement as a 58-year-old man. He finds me when I'm going through those days. He finds you. And he knows exactly where you are. And he knows exactly how many hair are on top of your head. That's how much he loves you. And he finds you. And if you'll be open and just humble yourself, you know what he's doing? Just like he reached out to Peter when Peter was sinking and drowning after he got out of the boat. He reaches his hand out and he pulls you back up. What does he do? Pulls you back in the rope, in the boat. He might do a little correction. Oh, Peter, you have little faith. Oh, Peter, little faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Let's go there right now. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. Fight the good fight for the true faith, says in the NLT. The New King James, which is usually what I read most of the time in my daily reading. I like to see what some of the other translations say. I like the New King James Version because I believe that it really is probably the most... It just connects with me the best, probably because I grew up with King James. And so New King James just takes a little bit of the awkward these and thous out of it and lets me see what God wanted to say. And then I look at some of the other things. I look at Greek translations, look at Greek words, and see if I'm getting the full import of that meaning. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Don't run at your giant with your mouth closed. Confession is not always about, I've sinned, I'm sorry. Confession is, this is what the Lord Almighty says. We see it in the book of Revelation, when Jesus comes in his glory, it says he has a sword coming out of his mouth, which is the word of God. So when we get the word of God down in our heart and start speaking it out loud, that is part of the fight of faith that we need to engage in. It's calling those things which are not as though they are. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17 says that. In fact, let's go over there to Romans 4, 17. God has some things to say to us as a church. This might be a reminder to you. This might be new to you. But I want to tell you, open your mouth and start speaking what God says and not what CNN or Fox News says. We live in a consumed, media-driven society. If we would stop long enough and humble ourselves, God could do so much more. If we'll open our mouth and start speaking the Word of God over those situations, speaking peace over those situations. In fact, you're there in Romans 4:17. We see that God gives us a recipe for some of the fight of faith that we need to be engaging in. That fight of faith has to do with hanging on to the things of God, but also taking territory. And we talked about that when I shot the arrow out of the window, and everybody, Pastor, I didn't. We had Nicholas shoot the arrow out of the window. And that was a way of saying taking territory, making a statement. But we need to do that with our mouth. And so Romans 4:17 says it this way. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, speaking of Abraham. And in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, now listen, and calls those things, calls, that means speaks, calls those things which do not exist as though they do or did. So when Abraham had his name changed from Abram to Abraham, Abram did not mean father of many nations, but Abraham meant father of many nations. Now, the meaning of somebody's name in that culture, and in many cultures around the world, the meaning of your name means something. In fact, a good name is to be honored or to be chosen. It's better than riches to have a good name. Having a good name. Names mean something. Why? Because they're spoken, just like God spoke in the book of Genesis. He spoke and light was. And I say this all the time. Light didn't argue and say, I don't feel like it today. No, when God spoke the world into existence, it was. Let there be light. God asks us to be imitators of him. Walk in love. If you walk in love, that's walking in humility and faith, right? Ephesians tells us that. To be imitators of God. Well, to be an imitator of God means to speak those things which be not as though they were. Speaking things of faith. So when Abraham would go into a tent, because, you know, he's traveling all over, right? So that's another story. So Abraham, he's going all these different places in the desert. But when he walks into a town or something, hi, my name's Abraham. I'm father of many nations. Oh, but you don't have any children. How does that work? I'm the father of many nations. How does that work? When I had my brain surgery situation 10 years ago, and I had lost 50% of my eyesight. You can ask my kids, all three of them and my wife. When I was recovering, I would speak these words of faith out. I would say, I see everything. They'd say, Dad, can you see this? I'd look at them and I'd go, I see everything. I see everything. What was I doing? Calling those things which be not as though they were. Amen. Now, was I lying? No, I wasn't. Because if I was at a doctor and he said, can you see this? I would tell him what I could not see. So I wasn't being ridiculous. But in the space of our home, in the atmosphere, we could control. You understand?
That's right.
And they understood what I was doing. My kids, even at a young age, understood what I was doing. They'd say, Dad, can you see the TV? And I'd be like, I see everything. If I dropped something, Dad, can I help you with that? I see everything. And what was that? That was the confession of my faith. Believing God, calling those things which be not as though they were. Abraham called himself the father of many nations. Eventually, first of all, he tried to make it happen on his own. Don't do that. We still have that problem today. Ishmael is still a problem because Abraham tried to do something on his own. So when God speaks something to you, try not to make it happen. Okay? Try not to do that. That's just a side issue. So, fighting the good fight of faith has to do with what are you saying? Ask yourself, what are you saying? When you run up against a negative doctor's report, do you just keep reinforcing the negative doctor's report? Or do you... I'm not saying you ignore medicine or doctors. We believe in medicine and doctors. We've had doctors in our church. We've had nurses in our church that have been a part of our leadership, everything. And so what am I saying? I'm saying we don't ignore those truths and facts. We say there's a higher truth. Right? There's a higher truth. God's word is higher. I still went to all the doctor's offices Ron was my driver, driving Pastor Daisy. Ron was my faithful driver, faithful friend. He picked me up. He pastor watched. You say, what do you mean he pastor watched? Pastor Christine had to go somewhere with the kids or pick up the kids or do something.
I need you to pastor sit.
Because when I first came home from the hospital, there was there really was several months recovery, and Silvio was going through something at the same exact time, and that's a whole different testimony of God's goodness and God's grace. But I can remember I wasn't real mobile, and I was starting to get stronger, and so I had the walker in the house, but it would drive Pastor Christine kind of a little annoyed at me. Because I would pick the walker up in order to keep my word. She'd say, use the walker. I go, okay.
I just carried it.
Ron would have to pastor sit and make sure that I did all the right things. Praise God. Yeah, he was like, nothing's going to happen on my watch. The bulldog of Brooklyn, he's got it. Praise God. And nothing ever did. And God's good and God's glorified. And look at what God's done. And in relationships and everything else. And I got to tell you, His miraculous power. I'm so thankful. 10 years. 10 years. And even my eyesight got better and better and better and better. My last eye doctor visit, she looked at me and she said, oh, you have 20/20 vision.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Yes.
I was like, really? I don't think I had 20/20 vision before my brain surgery.
It's so true.
She goes, actually, with your contacts, because I do wear contacts, she said, with your contacts, you have better than 20/20.
Glory to God.
Only Jesus.
Glory.
Only God.
Glory.
Only God. Because I remember them telling me when I was complaining about I couldn't see things. And then they sent me to a neuro-ophthalmologist. There's only like 10 in the country. They sent me to a neuro-ophthalmologist. Neuro-ophthalmologist looks at me and goes, when did this happen? And he looks at the MRI and everything else, brain bleed. And I said, it happened about 4 months ago. He says, so in about 3 months, we'll see how much vision you have, but you're not getting it all back. He said, maybe a year and a half, you might get a little more, maybe. He was not a believer. And I looked at him and I said, I'm getting it all back. That was kind of bold. I said, I'm getting it all back. I wasn't brash. I was not cocky. It was in a spirit of humility, but it was faith. You see, you can be strong and not be in pride. I want you to get that from the story of David and Goliath. You can be strong and still have your reliance on Him, because the people who know their God do mighty exploits for Him. You can do it. And that situation that you're facing, maybe that financial, maybe that career situation, maybe that business situation, you can make it. The people who know their God. God will bring you through that career block. He'll bring you through that health block. He'll bring you through that financial block. He will do it time and time and time and time again. It may not look like you thought, but He will always show up, and He'll bring you through it. Right, Adam? Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
If you haven't ever had a chance to have some really good conversation with Adam, Adam's a man of faith who's been, he's been beat up. He's been in the war. He's had losses. He's had tough things happen to him that really are gripping. But the thing that you see is God showed up every time. Every time. And lifted him up, and he's lifting you up right now. So if you're watching online, you're going through one of those times, let me tell you, he's lifting you up right now. If you're here today, he's lifting you up right now. He's doing it. It's all about Him. And this fight of faith has to do what's coming out of your mouth. Not the problem, but the answer. See, that's what it does. When we make that adjustment in our lives, when we make that adjustment of, okay, Lord, it's about You, all of a sudden the problem starts to get a little smaller. It no longer has the power that it once had. Because my God can do anything. My God can do anything.
Thank You, Lord.
My God can do anything. My God can do anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God who calls those things which be not as though they were. I'm the healed of the Lord. But you might be going through treatment. It's all right. I read the back of the book. Either way, I win.
Amen.
But I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He will keep that which I've committed to Him, unto Him against that day. I'm telling you, He will finish the work as long as you keep hanging on to Him. Or even, let's be real. Allow Him to keep hanging on to you. Because He is. He's hanging on to you. He knows you in those dark spots. He knows you when you messed up. And guess what? He still loves you. And there is nothing you can do that's going to make God love you any less. Because Jesus already paid the price. And there's nothing you can do that's going to make God love you more. You can't give enough. You can't do enough spiritual gymnastics. You can't kneel enough. It's all about Him. And when we make it all about Him, that fight of faith becomes something that becomes addictive. Because I want to do it. I get to do it. So when we wake up tomorrow morning and you get a text that you didn't like, guess what? I get to do this. God, I get to show You strong in my life. If you'll take what I believe God's giving me for you today and apply it to your life and spread it to somebody else, when you share this life-changing message, I'm telling you, you never know what's going to happen. You don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know what opportunity is going to open up. You don't know what door will open up because you took one step. You opened up your mouth, even in the midst of a negative circumstance, you opened up your mouth, and all of a sudden, something else opens up that you went, "Ooh, what are you doing, God? What are you doing?" I was in Florida, as you know, last month, and I don't think I told the congregation the story. I told some of you this personally. I was sitting at this table, and the hosts at this table, there's hundreds of pastors there from all over the, really, even some other countries, but mostly all over the United States. And I'm sitting at this table of 10 in this banquet room, and we're all saying hello to each other. Somebody's from Oregon, somebody's from here, somebody's from there. I'm sitting next to a guy from Tampa, Florida, who happens to be from the Bahama Islands, and we had a nice exchange because I'm part Bahamian on my mom's side. And so we're talking, and that was kind of cool. And then there's this other couple here, and they said, "Oh, we're your table hosts for this conference, and we attend the church that's hosting the conference. And, you know, our name is such and such and such." I said, "Oh, okay, that's great." Got to know them. We went to workshops, we had food together, we're talking, they're asking questions, how can we pray for your church? They're praying for you. They're praying for you. And they're prayer warriors, and that's what they're about. That's kind of like, they feel like that's their mission in life. They own businesses, and they do things They're not ministers by trade or vocation, but they're ministers just like you are. Just like every one of you are. As soon as you came into Christ, you became a minister. What? I didn't know that. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a minister. Minister just means helper, and you're helping God, right?
Yep.
Right? You're following the leading of the Holy Ghost. So I'm talking to them, and I find out. So later on that night, we've been with each other all day long. I looked down at the brother's name tag, and I just looked at him, and I said, are you by any chance Bahamian from the Bahama Islands? He looked at me and says, yes, why are you asking that? And I said, because I'm part Bahamian. And he said, no way. And he said, how did you know? And I said, your family name. I said, and he says, well, what family name are you from? And I said, I'm on my mom's side. There's the Roberts family name. He said, oh, my grandmother was a Roberts.
Wow.
And I began, so I said, excuse me a minute. I text my mom. I said, Mom, I'm with a guy, his last name's Saunders. We're related to Saunders, aren't we? And she said, yes. And she says, ask him if his grandmother's name was, and then she knew the name. I still don't have it written down somewhere. The guy's my second cousin.
Wow.
I'm like, what are the chances of that? And he's sitting right next to me. But God. But God. And so the rest of the conference, he's introducing me to everybody. This is my cousin, Doug.
Okay.
And I'm like, this is my cousin, David. And so, why do I say that? Because tomorrow morning, your life, the rubber meets the road. You got to pay the bills. You got the stresses, the doctor's appointments, the schedule. The difficult boss. The difficult coworker. Maybe a family member there's tension. Maybe there's a health issue. But you never know when you step out with your mouth open to the things of God and say, Lord, I'm serving you today. What adventure do you have for me today? What do you got for us to do? That changes everything. Everything changes when we put the kingdom first. Everything. Your whole perspective. Everything just kind of goes like this. And all of a sudden, joy comes up on the inside. That joy that kind of just really gets you going. And you know, Romans 10:17 says that we get faith by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. That's how we get it. How do we release it? We release it through words. Don't run at your giant with your mouth closed. Don't run at your giant with your mouth closed. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill in the natural, but I thank you, Lord. My needs are met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That back bill is going to be paid in the name of Jesus. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you will, because you always have and you always will. You have never let me down. Never. And even when the enemy tried to convince me that you let me down, when I went and saw your word, I realized, oh, no, no, no. No. No, you never let me down. You never let me down. You never let me down. You brought me through the fire. You brought me through the flood. You brought me life when they were saying death. You brought me health. You brought me hope when there wasn't any hope from what I could tell. When I was in my deepest despair, you showed up again and again and again, and he will keep doing it. You see, hearing and continually hearing the word of God builds faith in us. It is released by opening your mouth and calling those things which be not as though they are. We're going to close with Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Why is this important, Pastor? Because Jesus teaches us that faith has to do with the heart-mouth connection. And that's how we got saved. Romans 10, 9, and 10, I refer to it almost every single Sunday. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth. When I got saved, I believed in my heart that I needed a connection with God like never before. And when I said, Jesus, you're my Lord, and I believe what you did for me, and I receive it, change happens. So when you believe in your heart, it's the heart connection. I was reading something this week in preparation that really blessed me. Scientists are telling us that inside your heart, your physical heart, this blew me away. And it just verifies what Scripture has been telling us for over 2,000 years. That inside your physical heart that pumps blood, that there are something that are very similar to the brain neurons, and they hold memories, and they hold certain things that they're not connected directly to the brain. But that's why when God says, believe from your heart, there's something there. We still don't know everything because we're still limited, right? We see through a glass dimly. There's still something we don't know. But if the scientists are now telling us that there are like brain-like neurons in our heart that actually function almost like brain cells holding some kind of information, we know God knows what that is because He designed the whole thing. He's got it designed. But that blessed me. Because then when I look at what Mark chapter 11 says about speaking faith. Jesus, now this is an intense week for Jesus in Mark chapter 11. We just completed the triumphal entry. That's coming up in a couple weeks when we celebrate Palm Sunday. We'll have palms here for you, and we're going to celebrate Palm Sunday because it's a victory in advance. Did you note that? It was a prophetic picture of a triumphant king in advance before it ever happened. And the palm branch in many Eastern cultures is a symbol of victory. It is a symbol of triumphing. And so when we look at that story, and we look that here in Mark chapter 11, Jesus rides into Jerusalem. Then right after that, he has a little bit of a bump in the road. Right before that, he's walking, says in verse 12, the next day they had come from Bethany, and he's hungry. Seeing from afar, this is Mark chapter 11, seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said, let no one, listen to what he said. This is what Jesus said to the tree. Jesus talks to circumstances. How much more should you be talking to your circumstance? You say, oh, well, that's only one verse. Wait a minute. What about when he looked at the storm and said, peace be still. Peace be still. And immediately the wind, you see, yeah, but that's Jesus. Yes. But we know from Philippians chapter 2 that he humbled himself. He gave up his deity. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. But when he was on earth, he was operating as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. He was a prototype of what the believer is supposed to be. Somebody who walks in the anointing and the power of God and walks in this fallen earth and still takes authority, dominion, and situation, speaks to things. And when you speak to things, when you are in that place of humility, knowing that that dependency is on God, there is power in your words when you speak God's word over that situation. When you pray for that coworker, don't wait for the pastor to pray for them. When you pray and say, how can I pray for you? When you look over and say, you have a family member that's sick or somebody that's sick, you say, can I pray for you in the name of Jesus? And watch God heal in living rooms. Amen. And in workplaces. Amen. At the water cooler. Watch God do things that you will blow your mind. Because you are people of God, anointed by the Holy Ghost to walk in this earth. So now, notice what happens. Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Right after that, he cleanses the temple. He goes through a little bump in the road there, right? He cleanses the temple. And he goes through that, right? Verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. The Greek actually is have the faith. Have the faith of God. The same God who said, light be. Jesus is telling his disciples to have the same faith that Abraham had said, that he called those things which be not as though they were. He says, have faith, have the faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Listen to this. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The key is in believing. That's what I want to add to that. The key is in believing. It's in believing. But, and then he goes on to verse 25. A lot of times we stop at verse 24, and I am going to finish, I promise. And whenever you stand praying, now just a minute ago, or the previous verse, he says, when you ask, when you pray, and now he says in verse 25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. I believe that God really, in this day and age, faith really requires open ears to hear God's word. Open mouths to speak God's word. Open hearts to believe God's word. You see, in order for that to work, remember this. Forgiveness will unlock the blocks to your faith. We're going to unpack that next week. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness. Total forgiveness. Again, put yourself in a place of humility. It doesn't put you in the place of a judge. Forgiveness will unlock the blocks to your faith. I believe God is calling us higher. He's calling us higher. He's giving us ears to hear. He's giving us eyes to see. And we're seeing beyond what we see here. And we're speaking to those circumstances. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I believe that you've spoken to this congregation about speaking faith. The good fight of faith is holding on to those things that you've taught us, that you've modeled for us to speak to mountains, to call those things which be not as though they are, and to see your kingdom established, and to see signs, wonders, miracles, to see the gospel preached to the ends of the earth, to see lives changed, marriages restored, and relationships and families restored, and health restored, and finances restored, and encouragement picked up again, hope birthed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I've simply encouraged you this morning to the good fight of faith. I've simply told you that you can do it. I've done my best to bring to you what I believe God is speaking to our church to take us up to another level. And as we see this revival spread around the world, could this be that revival that ushers in the King?
Yes, Lord.
It could. It could. And even if it's not, don't you want to jump in and be a part of it? And the way you do that is you open your mouth. Don't run at your giant with your mouth closed. Amen? Praise God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I like to give everybody an opportunity, even if I think they know Christ, because I don't know who's watching online. I don't know who's here necessarily. I don't know everybody's heart that is here. But if you have never asked Jesus into your life, you've never been born again, I want to give you that opportunity. It goes back to Romans 10, 9 and 10, that you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and you confess with your mouth. You receive that forgiveness. And so if that's you, I want you to lift up your hand and say, that's me, I need to be born again. If you've been away from God and this is your opportunity to recommit your life to God, I want you to raise up your hand. Thank you. And then we're just going to pray a simple prayer together. I want you just to pray this and follow along and pray it out loud and just connect your heart to this prayer. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come to you,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That he died for my sins. That you raised him from the dead. I believe, and I receive the forgiveness of Jesus. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior. I confess that I'm his child from this day forth. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer as a recommitment, we want to know about it. We want to be able to give you some materials that may help you with your walk with God. If you're online, please message us by Facebook. I'm so excited about what God is doing in the earth, but I'm also so excited about what God's doing in you. And I want to hear about it. You say, what do you mean I want to hear about it? Send me a note. Send me a text. Tell me what God's doing. Tell me what God did at your workplace. Tell me what he did in your family. Tell me what he's doing, what you see his hand in things. Because his hand is moving in the earth. And if you'll step out and open your mouth, you'll find you're going to be right in the middle of what God wants you to do and say. And you'll be right in the right place. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's stand our feet as we speak over ourselves in a form of a prayer, but also a way of confessing God's word over our lives, over this church, over you. And so let's say it. Let's say it with meaning. Let's connect our faith to it and say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8.